Last Sunday, as we closed our first service, I don't recall if we did this at the second service, but as we closed at our first service, a number of you prayed for individuals around you, and God touched bodies in a special way that day and give strength and healing. Let's give God glory for that. I've been talking to you for about a month on reaching out, talking to you about evangelism, talking to you about being commissioned, about last week, about how are people around us going to know about Jesus unless we tell them. Talked to you the first week about the four who carried their quadriplegic or paraplegic friend to Jesus so that he would encounter him. And I have challenged us over this month, and I will do it today and then one more week, and then Sherry and I will be gone for a week. But I'm going to just remind us again, friends, we are the church. Okay? If we do not reflect the image of Jesus, if we are not salt and light in everyday living, then the world will never see Jesus. And so God has commissioned us. Jesus has commissioned us. And I know that sometimes we think that that's somebody else's job or the preacher's role or something else, but I'm just challenging us to think we have been commissioned to live, to walk, and talk like Jesus, and to share him when opportunities arise. And so I know that it may sound like I'm harping. I don't mean to. I'm no different than you are. I just have a title. It happens to be called pastor. I'm no different than any of the rest of you. But my heart is burdened for the lostness of America. My heart is burdened for the lukewarmness of the church. I'm not saying every one of us is lukewarm. I'm just saying overall, I feel very strongly that the condition of America is partly at its worst right now because of the church. It is the church's responsibility to be salt and light in a land where it is very dark and dingy. It is the church's responsibility to live for Jesus and to proclaim him and to tell others about what he's done for us. It's the church's responsibility to tell the hurting neighbor, God loves you. And so I apologize for seeming to harp on you, the church. But friends, God wants to do more. He can do more because he is almighty. But he wants to do more through his church today in the 21st century in America. He wants to because he wants people to be redeemed. He wants the church to be holy. He wants the church to reflect his son. And when we walk out of the church houses every Sunday morning, regardless of what the church is, regardless of what the sign says, and we look like the world, we're not reflecting Jesus. He's called us to reflect his son. I'm no different than you are. I just have a burden for the people of God to be holy people. And I have a burden that people that don't know him would come to know him. Because eternity is a long time. And we can fritter away our lives here, making money and pleasing ourselves and being comfortable and doing this, that, and the other thing, and suggest that the work of God is somebody else's. We can do that. But that's not what he's called the church to do or to be. And so for today, for a few more minutes, and for next week, I'm going to continue to challenge us about reaching out. Reaching out to that neighbor, that coworker, that family, that friend that you know God's put on your heart. Today's title is called, We Know Too Much to Say Nothing. You may not have every Bible verse in the Bible memorized. That's okay. I don't either. Matter of fact, I'm ashamed at how few I do have memorized. You may not know every story about Jesus' healings or every Old Testament prophet. That's okay. I'd continue to keep learning. I'd encourage you to continue to keep learning. But if you know Christ, if you know Him as Lord, and you're walking in the newness of life, in the Spirit of the living God, you and I know too much to say nothing. Amen? We know too much to say nothing to passers-by in life. I've never heard this song before, but apparently there is a song on secular radio that goes something like this. If it wasn't that I didn't know enough, I just knew too much. I don't even know the name of the song. I really don't care. But Pastor Jeff Ogden was telling us the other day, he was in the Mall of America a few weeks ago, and he heard this song being played in one of the department stores. And he began to think of all those people he was encountering, hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them, as he was encountering people in the Mall of America. And he said this, and I quote, "And as I walked the mall, I saw all these different people coming at me. I noticed their religions, the religions that they owned. I noticed their tats. I noticed their jewelry. I noticed their medals. I noticed the logos on their t-shirts. And I realized not only did they not know enough, but I knew too much. They didn't have a clue, but I knew too much." End quote. It doesn't matter if we only know John 3:16, if we can only paraphrase it. If we have been born again in our spirit, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know too much to keep silent. That's all there is to it. We know too much if we have been redeemed or saved or justified, whatever, pick whatever biblical terminology you want. We know too much to say nothing to those people around us. Every one of us that have been redeemed in this church and the next and the next and the next all over the globe, if we have been born again in our spirit, if we have been redeemed, if we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, if we have been saved like Paul talked about last week from Romans 10 and 9 and 10, if we have been saved, we know too much to stick that in our pockets and say nothing and do nothing with it. The world around us hurts, brothers and sisters. And I know sometimes you hurt and I hurt too in the church. But the world around us hurts in a different way because they haven't been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we know too much to keep it to ourselves. Turn to John chapter 1, please. I'm going to take a look at just four or five verses and pull this all together. I got to thinking about the 12 disciples last night because I'm reading a new book. I just started last night. Great book. I'm hoping to read some more today. And the very first chapter talked about Jesus and the disciples. And every one of them but John died for their faith. As a matter of fact, when I was reading the accounts from John Fox, I think his book came out in the late 1500s, and he had researched these disciples. He was writing about Thomas. Remember Thomas? We call him the doubter. Thomas was told he would be crucified, and as he saw the cross in the distance, he said, "O cross, how I have longed for thee, as my Savior died on thee." You see, friends, the disciples were so madly in love with the Master, they welcomed a death on the cross, even if it would take days. What if the 12 disciples would have said, "You know what, Jesus, that's pretty good life you lived there. We're just going to go ahead and go back about our fishing business and about our tax collecting and about the other things that we're doing." What if the 12 disciples would have said, "You know what, that's somebody else's responsibility to tell the world of Jesus." We're the extension of the disciples today, brothers and sisters. It's the church that are the disciples of Jesus today. It's not some other church or some other pastor or some other evangelist or some other missionary. It's us that are the extension of the disciples of Jesus' day. It's us that have been commissioned and reminded by Paul last week. How are they going to know unless we tell them? It's the church today that has the responsibility to tell the world of Jesus. What if the 12 would have said, no thanks? I fear too often today, we, and I make up the church too, are saying, no thanks, let somebody else do it. We know too much to say nothing about Jesus if we've been redeemed. John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know the story. That's John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. 3 weeks ago I told you, we are witnesses of Jesus. We are to be his witnesses in the 21st century. John the Baptist was his witness then. And why was he a witness? That all through him might believe. He was a witness to Jesus so people around might believe in Jesus. That's our role too, to be his witness so others around might know him. Verse 8, he, that's John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Jesus is the light. Doesn't use his name here, but Jesus is the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, he, that's Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Tragedy of tragedies, brothers and sisters. Jesus was here, and the world did not know him. Sometimes we live and act like we don't know him either. We're the church. And then it says, he, that's Jesus, came to his own. That's the Jewish people at that time. And his own did not receive him. They didn't trust him as Lord. They didn't receive him. They didn't acknowledge him as Messiah. Yes, they saw this guy called Jesus and did nothing about it. And sometimes we're doing the same things. We say in our minds, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus. And we don't live like this made any difference to us. He was here. He made the universe. And yet, John writes, the world did not know him. You see, friends, we live in a time that's not unlike that. The world around us does not know him. And I mean know to a passion that has transformed us. The world does not know him. Oh, lots of people know about him. Lots of people say, yes, I believe in God, but are walking with the world. Know in this context means transformed lives. I know him. He's redeemed me. He's transformed me. He's set me on a new path. I've been born again. I've been filled with the Spirit. And I can't keep this to myself anymore. That's knowing him the way the disciples knew him. They couldn't keep quiet about it when they'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. And we should be the same way. Ever since the first day that you and I were redeemed, born again, whatever you want to call it, we know too much to say nothing. I know we can come up with excuses. I suppose if I would have asked Pastor Jeff, did you come up with any excuses that day as you were meeting hundreds of people, thousands of people in the Mall of America? I suppose he could have said, yeah, I come up with a few myself. But friends, the church, if there's ever going to be revival in America or any place else, it's got to start because his people who are called by his name have humbled ourselves, pray, seek His face, and repent and start telling others of the good news that's in us. The world isn't going to tell the world about Jesus. The world isn't going to reflect the image of Jesus. If the church isn't going to, then nobody else is either. And I just want to challenge us. If our salvation experience was genuine, I've been born again, just like Saul of Tarsus. A radical transformation has happened within me. I can't keep silent about this. If we have genuinely been born again, we cannot keep silent. Always, the Bible tells us, always be ready to answer of the truth that is in you. Always be ready when you encounter somebody. If you're with somebody in the workplace every day, always be ready to give an answer, the Bible says. And I just want to challenge us. I just want to encourage us, friends. I believe, and I told Pastor Les this last night as we prayed together. We pray here every Saturday night, friends. We come here to pray about today. We come here to pray for our congregations, for our families, for our community, for our nation. Not very many of us come to pray, but we come to pray. And I just want, and I just told Pastor Les last night, and we have a heart, Les and I, and many of you do too, that beats as one. God has brought us together for a reason. There's a lot of us here, okay? Amen? Anybody notice that? There's a lot of us here. And God has brought us together for a reason. It's to bring Him glory. It's to bring Him glory by living everyday lives for Jesus. To be salt and light in everyday living. To maybe tell somebody somewhere our story once in a while. It's to bring Him glory in the communities of which we live. Right here. Wherever we come from Bertha to Pillager, from Poplar to Philbrook, to bring Him glory. That's why He's brought us together. He has brought us together, a good family, to use us to bring Him glory. Not to expect the church down the street. Well, that's their responsibility. That's not mine. It's our responsibility together. Or the church in the next town, or the pastor in the next town. We are the church. And He's brought us together for a reason, to bring Him glory. And so, like I said, brothers and sisters, I'm no different than you are. I'm no better than anybody here. I've been redeemed. I've trusted Christ as Lord. I've asked Him to fill me with His Spirit. I've asked Him to change my heart. I used to be selfish. Maybe I'm still selfish. I don't know. But now I'm asking Him to do that for us, so we bring Him glory in multitudes of ways. And I don't mean to harp on you. I'm no different than you are. I don't mean to get hard on you. But I'm absolutely convinced, brothers and sisters, I'm absolutely convinced we've not been redeemed for nothing. We've not even been redeemed for ourselves. To suggest, well, I'm saved now, Jim. What else is there? We've not been redeemed for ourselves. He wouldn't have told the disciples to go and make disciples and baptize them and teach them whatsoever I have commanded you if He wouldn't have wanted His church today to be commissioned and do the same thing. Praise God if you've been born again, but now we're on a mission. We know too much to keep it to ourselves. And so I'm just asking you. Like I've been asking you for a month, and I'll ask you one more time. One more time next week, we're going to talk about really reaching out. Will you be available to the Master? Will you be available tomorrow when He says, when He gives you a person in your mind, to begin to pray for them and to maybe come alongside and encourage them and to maybe tell them their story because Jesus lives in your life and you just want to give them a little hope? Will you be available next week when He puts somebody else in your path to tell them the good news? I'm just asking us, friends, if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, will we be available to Him? Because He'll use you. He'll use us. And He'll use the next church and the next church and the next one. If we avail ourselves to Him, He'll use you to His glory. Have I been redeemed? Have I really been redeemed? Do I know about Him or do I know Him? Because you need to know Him if you're going to be redeemed and you're going to be part of His kingdom. And if you've never known Him as Lord, it's time, friends, to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do know Him, surrender our wills to His will. And let Him start using us as a church, as His people, wherever we live. Let Him start using us to bring Him glory. We know too much to say nothing.